Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Yusuf Shalom.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, sir.
All right. I told you I got you as far as the whole technical difficulties thing. So whenever you're ready, it's your show.
Okay. Well, hey, brother, I appreciate you doing a job. I look for a big future from you. Don't be scared. You're not scared, are you?
Nah, I'm not.
You're
I'm not scared.
Do what
I mean,
you gotta
if my
do.
Father's scared, I mean, I gotta take at least something from him, a little bit of something from him. So, I mean, he's not really scared. He's probably one of the most. He's probably one of the most outspoken people I know, and I'm not just saying that because I'm his son. So, I mean, if I take after at least a little bit, then I think I'm good to go.
Yeah, he has an unmitigated boldness about him, that's for sure. Yeah, young man, seriously, though, hopefully you go ahead and get on a track to fulfill your aspirations, really. You about ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, all right. Well, whenever you say go, I'll go.
I'll go.
Dearly beloved audience, with Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We witness that God is one alone. There are no gods, subhanAllah, there are no other gods with him. No partner, as he reveals in Quran to Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him, for us that anyone who comes to him, they come only as a servant, not as a god, and also hold the sharing power in the divine office. They come only to serve him. Dearly beloved people, we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We would like to talk to you today about the man from Ten Isle took the big step, the deep step, to bring us from under the pile. Again, the man from Ten Isle took the deep step to bring us from under the pile. We got a lot to cover today, and it's a blessing as we approach Ramadan. And I hope that we prepare ourselves both physically, mentally, psychologically, morally and spiritually for that wonderful tune-up that we receive every year called the month of Ramadan. And believe me, we need that wrapping around our souls to protect us from the heat, from the fire that's burning fiercely here in America. And we must, I repeat, we must work to save ourselves and our families from the fire. By save, we do not mean that somehow we have some kind of miraculous power as a savior. No, we understand that in the ultimate sense, Allah is the savior, and that he expects salvation by revealing the miraculous Quran. The Quran Kareem, the Quran Mubin, the generous Quran, the clear Quran. But we ought to be vigilant and watchful to try to protect protect ourselves from the fiery stratagems of the Satan himself. Just look at what's happened as many of the things that the blessed Imam Walter E. Muhammad talked to us about 20, 25, 30 years ago in terms of the diabolic mind who has the unmitigated gall and audacity to try to project co-rule with a law. That Allah created all this, and then he stepped aside and allowed these satanic minds to take over to do his work. And Imam indicated that these satanic minds, their number one design is on family life. And as he accelerate out of desperation his plan, his multi-thousand year plan to try to complete his wicked scheme, he's making a lot of blatant mistakes. And so the serpentine mind is not skillfully covering the tracks. And so a clear-minded, sober student of Imam Muhammad and a dedicated servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see his movements clear as day. Can see his movements clear as day. Let me just give you an example as we approach the U.S. Supreme Court's day of decision on same-sex marriage. The highest and most constitutionally endowed judicial body and forum for resolution of justiciable controversy and conflict. As we approach the rendering of that monumental historical decision, let's see what's happening almost simultaneously. This scam that's being projected by Bruce Jenner, and I don't buy it at all. I don't believe he's serious. I think that he is part of a plan to prey upon weak-minded people by projecting a celebrity and a well-known American cultural superstar and icon to bring and to make manifest and creditable a scheme of transgenderism. Oh, yes. I don't know whether he's getting paid or what. This man, one of the most prodigious athletes in the history of American culture. When they wanted this image of gayism, they selected Michael Sam, a viral all-American football player and one of the most savage and brutal NCAA conferences in the country, the SEC. Pulled one out of there and projected this image of raw virility. But projecting a mindset at the same time of rogueism. Then they go and get this other athlete playing on weaker-minded people. Why, if walking Michael Sam with all of his football toughness can be gay, then I'm just a normal fella. It's all right for me to be in that mold as well. Same thing about Bruce Jenner. Man can pole vault almost to the heavens.
I was watching a movie with Marlon Wayans called National Security. It was like, you the man.
He's like, you the man. He's like, yeah. He's like, no, you the man. That's like, yeah, I guess I am. It was with Marlon Lawrence. Yeah, Marlon Lawrence. Oh, National Security. And you see him. You ever seen Down to Earth? Down to Earth was a low-key sad movie. Excuse me, audience, we getting a little static on the call. I'm hearing other voices. I hope we can clear that up. We hearing other voices on the call interfering with the broadcast. But projecting Bruce Jenner as the model of this transgenderism, yet he claims to have a desire to be a woman, but he does not want to separate according to the gossip. From his male genitalia. If you're a woman, you're a woman. So buy the whole package of a woman, the genitalia as well. But you don't want, you say you're not going to do that. So who are you shucking? Who are you jiving in terms of preying upon the weakness of the minds of the American public? But now, even with all this effort to undermine family life, even with all this effort to undermine family life, the mother is still strong in her imagery. We saw this in Baltimore. We saw it in with the mother in Wisconsin who almost gave her life to try to save her two children. We saw it in Atlanta, Georgia, when this mother experimented with law enforcement to try to send a message to her son. So notwithstanding all this stress upon the family in the effort to decimate it and destroy it and weaken it, the scientific, systematic effort to do that, motherhood has tremendous resiliency. So now we see an effort to try to come at mother. Prophet Muhammad said, paradise lies at the foot of the woman. And the question was asked, who is the best? My mother, my mother, my mother, and then my father. You see? So we see now an effort to freak the woman out. All this sexual constant stream of freak influence is not enough. So now they have to come out with a sex freak pill for mama, for the woman, to make her go to the extreme with the sexual power of the family, which is primarily designed by law to perpetuate the human species, not to be reduced to a geek show or a freak show. And finally, now they're trying to finish the mail off. The New York Times had this article about the new image of male beauty and suggesting that we don't want to project men as being virile or masculine in their image anymore. We want to project this soft Dionysian type image. Not gay, but softly masculine. This is the kind of thing that we're dealing with in terms of the runaway fire in America. And I say to the U.S. Muslim our community is not immune from the infiltration of these diabolic influences. Our families are not isolated and insulated and inoculated from these diabolic influences. So we have an obligation to work diligently, to work hard to protect our family life and our community life. And it's not an easy struggle. It's a struggle that's going to take focus and concentration. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take conviction. It's going to take patience. It's going to take resolve of the utmost firmness. It's going to take strength, because we are going to lose some of our young people to this blazing fire. We're going to have enough strength to persevere, notwithstanding. I personally already experiencing this in my family life. 12, 13 grandchildren. Of course, with those kinds of odds, somebody's going to get caught in the fire. And we love our family. We love our blood. We want the best for our kin and for all of humanity. We want this. But if one is lost, we have to be strong enough and firmly convicted enough to keep going and ask for Allah mercy, ask for Allah grace on that person and that individual. But we must be sensitive to the needs of family life, the group, the complete family. We cannot allow the fire to be carried even by one of us. That's enough of that. All of these maladies that are, and problems I just indicated, are a natural concomitant of a declining empire. A decline in empire, but not a natural decline like we see when we study history alone, but an artificially contrived scheme by wicked minds who wanted to create a European empire, but a European empire, a Gentile empire, an Isaurian empire that's under their charge. And they had a time constraint on the viability and length of this particular empire. And in their poetic biblical language, they talked about allowing this empire to become global, to become planetary wide in its scope, to reach its fullness. And then when this empire, the Gentile, reaches fullness, to scientifically and systematically bring it down. And the number one target, and I don't have time to get in it in this day and time on the planet, is not the Hispanic male, the African-American male, the Asiatic male, the Latin American male, the African male, but the Gentile male and his family, the European male and his family, because these minds have always believed that they're dumb dogs. That's how they look at the Gentile people, as dumb dogs that we can easily manipulate on our rope. euro. If you chain the vial and rope, you get R-A-P-E, you get rape. And in their mythology, they say juice, Zeus, one letter Z. E, the second letter, U, the third letter. S, the fourth letter. The sacred grammaton, the tetragrammaton, the I am God, Joel the Jewel, said he was going to rape Europa. He was going to ravage their sign and their mind. Would always manipulate them with greater wisdom because they dumb dogs. And as African-American people, we have been intimidated. We have been befuddled. We have been conditioned to believe that these dumb dogs are superior to us. We bought into a doctrine of white superiority, European supremacy, and white supremacy. But their history has always been that of super puppeteers being manipulated by the skillful mind of Jacob. So we're living in a time where this European remnants of power is being undermined constantly. And the last vestige and remnants and badge and incident of that empire is the American Pharaoh. I repeat, it's the American Pharaoh. I remind you, our topic for today is the man from Ten Isle took a deep step to bring us from under the pile. When I say man from Ten Isle, I'm talking about the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The history books say that he's from Sandersville, Georgia. But the truth of the matter, he was born on the outskirts of Sandersville near two small villages, one called, I pronounce it Ten Isle for a reason, T-E-N-N-I-L-E. Let's talk about this thing. Let's present our case. Let's marshal the facts. Let's crystallize the issue. Let's give our rational analysis. Let's bring this thing to a cogent conclusion, our presentation today. He was born between Ten Isle and Deep Step. That's why I said took a deep step. See, many, many African Americans did not have the strength and the courage to take the step out into the board and take the position that I'm a human being. I have my own independent mind, my autonomous mind, and I'm in a state of autonomy, and I'm going to do for self. I'm going to do for self economically, financially, and business-wise. I'm going to do for self morally, spiritually, and intellectually. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad took that deep step. And because he took that deep step, a member of his association, his son, the late Imam Muhammad, came into a state of Ten Isle. He taught us that ten represents consciousness. And he indicated that when a person is KO'd or knocked out in boxing, he said they count to 10 because that indicates that consciousness has been lost. So 10 is the number of consciousness. So 10 now. Consciousness. And even more so of the great knowledge of the civilization that grew up around the Nile River Valley in Egypt. That because he took that bold step in time through the Quran, Allah bless us to come into a greater consciousness even than the consciousness of the civilization that modern mankind derived and grew from. Nova Ordo Secundum, a new world order as suggested on that dollar bill and the symbolism of the pyramid based upon a new order of the ages, based upon the old world knowledge of the Egyptians, the first civilization. He passed the test. He took the deep step. And now, as the new empire, the American Pharaonic Empire, as it's imploding due to gross decadence. See, all decadence, when the drum is playing, it has a cadence. It has a certain order. It has a certain rhythm. So when a civilization is in form and it's on the path, the natural path that God has ordained for it, it's marching to the cadence of the picture that's in the universe. And in Bible they say, they have this statement, order my steps in the Lord. Order my steps in the Lord. Meaning that make the civilization in marching order to the cadence of your way, your sirat al-mustaqim. But once the moral basis of society began to erode and decadence set in and people stopped marching to the natural drum that's rooted in the very order of God's creation. And so decadence set in. A people no longer under the cadence of the rhythm of God's naturally ordered and created universe. Oh, yes. So we see a marvelous sign being given in recent contemporary sports history. And we're going to take two examples from contemporary history. The situation with LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And in looking at this phenomenon, believe me, I'm not in the business of trying to predict who's going to win the NBA championship. Personally, I could care less who win the NBA championship. As long as all the young men continue to demonstrate what they've demonstrated, and that's superb academic excellence. They make a sterling statement about the excellence of the Muslim called the human body. The Imam said that this flesh is a Muslim, and this flesh is the cornerstone of human society. Look at the marvelous physical expression of those great NBA athletes. So we should care less on a baby level who wins. The human being wins when anything that Allah has created, any one of his natures, the physical, the moral, the intellectual, or the spiritual, is on prime display. also let us, as well as the prime phenomenon and event of American Pharaoh. Now let's just take a look at this great sign, American Pharaoh. He won what was called a cripple crown. And earlier on the day of June 6, 2015, 6 months, 6 days, in the year 15, 1 in 5 is 6. So that's 666. Go back and get you a copy of that New York Times. And it has the horse on the, talks about the horse on the front page. That is the, for lack of a better term, the sire or the father of American Pharaoh. And his name is Pioneer of the Nile. So we have this idea of Pharaoh from Egypt, and we have this idea of the Nile involved in this horse. But there was one who was made a slave in American history, who's from Ten Isle, Georgia, who also would become a pioneer of the new knowledge that will replace the dying white supremacy oriented collective ego knowledge of Western man. And that was the work of the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad and all those who came under his charge, including his son, the late Imam Wahtuddin Muhammad. If you go on, they talk about the mare, who is the mother of American Pharaoh. Her name is Star of Goshen. According to scripture, Goshen is that part of Egypt that served as the enslaved, oppressed population's quarters. So you have the biblical Goshen, the home of the Hebrew children, and the modern Goshen, the home of many African-American communities, and these urban centers, as well as rural areas, historically in the South, the Star of Goshen. And then finally, the grandsire of American power is called Empire Maker. It's called, look at these names, American Pharaoh, Pioneer of the Nile, Star of Goshen, and Empire Maker. Just like the ancient Egyptians had a powerful empire, the Western world also had a powerful empire. And the only center remaining of that strength of empire is right here in America now. So that's why we have this idea of the American Pharaoh. Now, let's just dig into that story that was in the New York Times. They indicated that the studying area was in a place called Versailles, Kentucky. See, that doesn't ring a bell with many of us. But for those who understand the basis of revealed al-Islam and not this priestcraft system that was created after the righteous guided caliph, left the planet. Since that time, we've had a, and I agree with the commentary and Yusuf Ali, we've had a man-made system, not the system of revealed al-Islam that came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, if we looked at things, and I'm going to read a commentary from Surah 28, dealing with the Pharaoh in our Quran. And this is what the commentary says by that great mind, hard worker, who Allah used to put this Quran in the kind of English, maybe not the best and most preferred, but good enough to do the job for many sincere African Americans who would not learn Arabic in their lifetime, not thinking about Arabic, barely can speak English, but they can read this Quran thanks to the great effort of that merciful instrument, Yusuf Ali, the translator of this Holy Quran. Outstanding mind, and we pray that Allah forgive him, and we thank him for his service. Yeah, brother, but there's a better translation. It may be, but Allah has seen fit that the majority of African Americans come up under this translation. And so Allah loves his creatures, so he wouldn't allow them to come up under a worthless translation, especially when they have no other option. Allah plans and looks out for his creatures. And this is what he says in footnote 3328. Let me say, when it comes to tafsir, I'm going to tell you right now, my number one go-to man is our Imam, our blessed Imam, Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. But we must not go to the extreme. That does not mean that every other learned Muslim has information that's worthless. And I think that this particular commentary in Surah 28, footnote 3328, is very important in understanding how, as people on the revealed religion, not this artificial priestcraft system that has actually been made up in al-Islam. We don't have the system of Prophet Muhammad anymore on the planet. We have an artificial system with the outward expression of what appears to be Islam, the rituals, the language, the body of knowledge that's out there, but not the real understanding of the essence of these outward manifestations of a crafted Islam. This particular footnote deals with the essence of what this deen and what revealed religion is all about. It brings religion alive. It makes Allah alive. It puts him on the throne, knowing what appears before, after, and behind his servants. So let's just read this footnote, because some of you think that I'm off base and don't know what I'm doing when we talk about these events. No, that's because the ritualistic, robotic, mechanical, dead Islam have many of us in a state where we cannot study and reflect upon the signs of God, even though throughout the Quran he tells us to do that. So listen to what this outstanding brother says. He says, the part of the story of Moses told here is how Moses and his mother were guided in the child's infancy, that even as he grew up, he might be prepared for his high destiny. We don't understand that the coming of Quran out of the mother of the African-American community, that's the community life, all of our history, the womb of our history, coming out of our mother, was designed to raise up one who was prepared to bring the original Quran and example of Prophet Muhammad back to the planet. Slavery, Jim Crowism, all of that hardship, the Middle Passage, all of that was designed in a large plan to bring us to a point where one would bring us what the prophet brought, clear Quran. But we don't look at our history like that. They got us looking at our history all bitter and mad. No, Allah did a wonderful thing in terms of the destiny of African-American people. It's just that we're not conforming and submitting to the plan that he has unrolled in terms of our history. And so many of us are in a rejectionist bag where we don't want the truth. We're in a stiff-necked bag where we prefer the life of this declining empire. It's crumbs, it's toys, it's lentils, it's material things. So he goes on to say how in his youth he trusted Allah in the most awkward situations. When we were baby people in America, we trusted Allah, even though the whip was on our back, even though we were working from the can't see in the morning till you can't see at night, even though we were under very harsh conditions. And I remember the old African Americans in the South around me constantly saying, boy, God brought us a mighty long way. They understood the outer workings of his plan. And Yusuf Ali goes on to say, and sought his help, how he fled into exile. Don't you know when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left the church physically and took a deep step into proto-Islam, that he was exiled, put out of the mainstream of American society, cast out, and yet found love and support because of his well-doing. Many people in America and out of America, Muslims and non-Muslims, was pulling for the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and those affiliated with his mission. How when he was calling his mission, he received Allah's favor. Talking about Musa now, which defeated all the plots of the enemies. The systemic order did everything they could to keep the Quran out of our hands. I can prove it. When I grew up in the South, there was no Islamic influence. My first 10 years, never saw a Quran. I saw even lewd and burger books and magazines. Never saw a Quran. First 10 years, never saw a Quran. I was in my 20s and had attended major university in this country and had never seen a Quran. Why? Because there was a systematic effort, precautions taken to prevent our people from not only physically coming into Quran, but more important, coming into the clear understanding of Quran. And then this is the key. Thus Allah's plan works continuously in the way of events. High events and events of low similitude. I repeat, thus the Lord's plan works continuously in the way of events. If we are live Muslim, if we are vigilant Muslim, if we are wise Muslim, if we are reflecting believers, then we will look at everything that's happening, especially in this day of Yom Medin, this day of religion, this day of death, this day of conclusion, this day of religion, this day of judgment. We will look at everything as part of the plan of Allah. But these things happen in our faith, and we started saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah can bring something with scriptural connections. American Pharaoh, and we look at it like it's not nothing. Because we following a made-up dead Islam from the East. We're supposed to understand the work of Allah by looking at what's happening in the creation, in the social order, and in ourselves. Those who have faith will thus see the hand of Allah in everything. Those who have faith will thus see the hand of Allah in everything. But a mechanical robot lucky people taking orders from so-called Eastern Muslims don't have any faith, but out of the inferiority complex gets going along with the program. We can't see nothing like that. And welcome the light that comes to them by revelation. Not additional revelation of a prophet. But any time the Lord gives a guidance, there's a level of inspiration and revelation in it. In this whole thing about American Pharaoh, there's a revelation in it. There's a truth hidden in it. That Allah has put there to guide us. So, and say, those who have faith will see the hand of Allah in everything and welcome the light that comes to them by revelation. Do you think I'm naive enough to think that most of the people who are listening, and we don't know how many to this broadcast, is going to welcome this line of reasoning? You think I believe that? No. They're going to bash me. They're going to say I don't know what I'm talking about. And some of them going to do like the prophet, the Quran, he did. The prophet. Man, that brother crazy. I'm not listening to him. I know all that. But dearly beloved people, I could care less. Why? I'm trying to please my Lord. I'm not trying to please anybody in this audience. No, indeed. And what are we supposed to do when we see something according to Allah? When we read a message, we are to proclaim it. We're not to hide this light. We're to welcome it and then proclaim it. And those whom Allah wish to guide, he open their breast to it. Those whom he will not to guide, he leave that breast closed and constricted. And if a prophet couldn't open it up, then surely we can't open it up. We cannot open up that breast. So, no, I'm not that crazy. If we didn't listen to the imam with all the wisdom he had, then I'm certainly not expecting people to listen to this. But we're duty-bound to take a stand on truth. As Muslim, we are duty bound. We are obligated. Allah obligates us. So I'm fulfilling a duty to my Lord, not to you. So listen, this is what he said. With such a faith, there's no room for chance of blind faith. Oh, the horse just so happened to be named American Pharaoh. It was just a horse race. Ain't nothing in that. No, with your weak faith, It's nothing in there. But listen to what the brother said. With such a faith, there's no room for chance. Oh, that's just a coincidence. Ain't none of that, brother. You reading something that's there. In your eyes, or the person of weak faith, no, dearly beloved audience. You have to have great conviction to look in these things and believe that Allah is a lie, that religion is a lie, and he's constantly working. As the brothers say, Allah plan works continuously, and I say nonstop in the way of events. That's Surah 28, the second footnote in Ayah 3 of Surah 28. It's too bad I had to take that time to make those comments because we don't love each other, we don't believe in each other, and we quick all the way back to slavery. And I remember as a little boy in the South, we had all kind of little statements which reflected our disbelief in each other. All kinds of statements came to mind. I remember telling this joke where allegedly in our community there was an African-American minister named Reverend Fly. And he was allegedly addressing a congregation. And Reverend Fly allegedly got up and made the statement that he was going to walk on the water like Jesus. And this is a story to reflect our insane inferiority complex as a people. And he said it once, he said it twice, and then it became unbearable, and a member of the church got up and said, Reverend Fry, that's a lie, because Jesus ain't black, is Reverend Fry. This is the kind of influence we had in our history. He can't walk like Jesus, not because he doesn't have that spiritual development, but because he's too black to be like Jesus. They have been worshiping that white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed God. So I expect for that same Imam Salam don't know what he's talking about. He ain't no mullah, he ain't no scholar. But that's all right. Allah hears and sees everything. So let's look at this. Why Basar? Because in the 20th century, the European portion of the empire was challenged in two ways. The World War One and World War Two, fighting among themselves, and also with the coming of the ex-slave into great knowledge, being raised from the pile in the dunghill of the Trinitarian doctrine, through the efforts of the movement led by the man who took the deep step, the man from Ten Isle who raised us up from the dunghill of the Trinity, excuse me. Oh, yes. Let's look first of all at the fighting. World War One started in 1914. The peace treaty, which cleaned up the mess, was in a place called Versailles, and it was signed June 28th, 1919. That war was the beginning of the destruction of European power. Before that war, Britain used to brag the sun would never set on our empire. In Versailles, June 28th, 1919. The next day, June 29th, the first triple crown winner, Sir Barton, was crowned as he completed that victory. So Allah, who knows what appeared before and behind his servants, connected up forever the Triple Crown with Versailles. That's why the starting place for American power and pioneer denial, all on the Windstar plantation, the story came out of Burnside, Kentucky, letting us know that this American power, his daddy, pioneer denial, and his granddaddy, empire maker, is all part of this process of the coming to the conclusion of the European empire that started in 1914 with World War One. In the year before that, 1913, internally in America, this Muslim movement started in a big way. Noble Drew Ali in Newark, New Jersey. So Allah made his move with the ex-slave in terms of the new knowledge before the first war started. Then the next year the war started. Then in 1915, 100 years ago, the Garvey movement started, joining the Morris American movement. We know what we're talking about. And then the Great War ended, and this treaty was signed on the 28th. The number dealing with the surah dealing with the store of Pharaoh in our Quran. But in that same year, 1919, when Versailles was signed, the Pools, Elijah and Clara Poole, got married. And from that marriage came the son, Imam Walter D. Muhammad. In that same year, 1919, Earl and Louise Little got married. And from that marriage came the disciple of Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X. These are the facts. The same year that Versailles was signed, 1919, even though the Nation of Islam was not started physically, but the prominent families had come together. Oh, yes. And so then we had World War II. Germany dissatisfied with the Versailles treatment in that treaty, lost all their money. They became disenchanted. And so Hitler rose in the early 1930s, the same year as the beginning of the Nation of Islam, same time the beginning of the Nation of Islam and the birth of Imam Muhammad in 1933. These are the facts. And because they were angry, the German people, at that Versailles Treaty in 1919, they had a desire to get retribution and revenge against France and Britain and even the United States. So Hitler in the third right arose, and they created a terrible machine of war. And when they got through fighting World War II, France was about shot. Britain was about shot. Germany was about shot. Torn up in half. All the European powers decimated. No more European empire after World War II. During that same time, Elijah is in prison, and Malcolm is getting ready to go to prison, and the imam is about 12 years old, going into purity, coming into a sense of God, asking Allah the question, please show me Allah, your real image. I'm not comfortable with this black God idea. Oh, Allah, show me your image. Let's look at what happened after World War II. Russia became a great power, and America became the only remaining so-called Christian superpower. The Soviet Union said there is no God. And the imam said they went for almost 70 years with that. And even though America is not perfect and we have our flaws, he said that Allah gave America a chance and brought down the Soviet Union. And the great Russian bear fell. But at least in America, it had lip service to God on the back of the dollar bill. In God we trust. So we see, after Russia went down, only the offspring of England and the British was a superpower empire on the planet. And that's the American empire. And I'll say this statement I heard, if it's true, I commend him on it. Minister Farrakhan, I'm told that he sent a letter to George Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and all of them and softly cautioned them, do not abuse your status as the sole superpower on the planet. But look what they did. They ignored that. Went into Iraq and tore it up. Now it's 15 years later, and there's nothing they can do about it, and they'll never be able to do anything about it, because the day is over where any so-called superpower can invade these little bitty nations and bring them under their thumb. And this son of Ham, Colin Powell, told him that if you break it, you own it. I don't care who they elect president. I don't care if they send 400,000 troops over there. They'll never be able to establish empire power in the Middle East anymore. It'll never happen. President Obama had an impossible task. There's nothing he can do to fix that mess. And anybody that come after him is not going to be able to fix that mess. The day of empire is over. America can exist as a country that respects the sons and daughters of Adam, both here in America and around the world. But no big gods and little yous. Manifest destined to rule over the darker nations. No, indeed. And so one of the people at Windstar, one of the handlers of these horses, is named Caitlin Christopherson. Look at that sign. Look look out for your Christian culture has failed American Pharaoh. The very man in this incident is named Caitlin. The same name as Bruce Jenner. You're not producing any civilization anymore. Even if there was time for empire, look at your culture. Look at what you're allowing. Look how low you're stooping with this Caitlin thing. You're not Christian anymore. The man's name is Caitlin Christopherson. The great Christian civilization that built up this global empire has fallen down. So in this American Pharaoh, you see this idea of Caitlin. Go and read the paper. Go do your research. History rewards all research. If you don't believe me, and he's affiliated with a man named Larry McGinnis, which translates son of Jen, Christopherson, and son of Jen. And in the name Jenner, you hear Jen, the Jen that's in error. J-E-N-N-E-R, that's in error. So you have both names affiliated with these horses. One man named Caitlin and another one named Jen, similar to the Jen in Jenner. Can't you see now how Allah put these things in these events? No, you don't. We can't see it because an African American pointed it out. Our inferiority complex blinds us to anything good. Especially the African American man. We so sickly competitive with each other. All the way back to our sexual competition. Knocking each other down just to have a woman that one of us have. A history of just blind sexual competition. You can't see nothing good in your brother. That Asiatic brother, that Native American brother, they not into all of that. That Caucasian brother, they respect each other enough to work together to pull off big projects. But because of our competitive nature, we can't do big things together. Let me move on in the broadcast. So, but the owner of American Pharaoh is named Ahmed. At the coming of the mission of Muhammad, peace be upon him, Ahmed is just a variant of Muhammad. They both related to the term to praise. There were a couple of incidents early on in his mission. First incident, Uthman, who became the third caliph, he had a dream telling him while he was traveling that Ahmed has come forth. That Ahmed has come forth. And when he got back to Mecca, he approached Abu Bakr Siddiq because even though the deen was not established, Abu Bakr Siddiq had a talent for interpreting dreams. And he told him that Ahmed is referring to Muhammad ibn Abdullah, that he's already started his mission. And Abu Bakr Siddiq took Uthman ibn Affan to the Prophet, and he took his Shahada. Dreaming about Ahmed coming forth. getting ready to bring this thing to a close in a minute. Another incident, one by the name of Talha. He was traveling, and he ran across this Christian monk, and he asked him, had Ahmed come forth yet? Because according to their calculations, it was time for Muhammad to be on the planet with his mission. What does that tell us? That back then, the learned Christian knew that there was to be another prophet after Isa, peace be upon him. And they knew that his name would be Ahmed. So again, this brother went back to Mecca, talked to Abu Bakr. He told him, yes, Ahmed has come forth. That's Muhammad. And this brother went and took Shahada again. The empire is in its last throes. There are people drawing pictures of Ahmed. The religion has been painted in a negative picture because there are those who understand that if Ahmed come forth in America, it's going to be a different game. Everything you see happening on the planet, a lot of it is because the schemers are trying to prevent Ahmed from coming forth in America. A genuine understanding of Quran coming forth and a genuine depiction of his uswa, his excellent character. So all kinds of efforts are being made to taint his image, preempt his strike, to make American and others hate Islam because they see the ex-slave bringing forth Ahmed. And they don't want Ahmed to come forth. Who doesn't want Ahmed? The same ones who didn't want him to come forth in Medina. Like the Christian, the people of the book, knew that Ahmed was due. And some of the people of the book told the Arabs in Medina that the prophet was coming, and when he comes, he's going to get his revenge against you all for the way you treat us. So that tells us that they knew that Ahmed was coming. And when he came to Medina, he offered a very beautiful treaty to treat them and others fairly. But because they felt that they were the special chosen ones, and because the prophet came through Ishmael and not Isaac, they rejected Ahmed. And to this day, many among the people of the book, they reject Ahmed. And with their wisdom and their stratagems, they're able now to try to keep Ahmed in a bad image in America and throughout the world. But they plan and Allah plan. How can you see this idea? The robber, the trainer was named Robert Baffert. Rob. That's short for Rabbi. Baffert has baffled the Gentile, has baffled the people, have confused the people. But these are not all Jews. I'm looking at a book called The 100 Most Influential People in Human History right now, written by Michael H. Hart. And he's supposed to be a Jew. And he said Muhammad is not the bad person. Ahmed is the number one most influential person in human history. This is what he said. So we're not to run like all Jews are bad. This man told the truth. We say what the Quran say. Many say a part of them are righteous, and I'm paraphrasing, but there are many that's far away from that. They exert their influence to baffle the people about Muhammad. But when Allah reached the man war to Deen Muhammad, that one soul, then it was all over. It's just a matter of time before Muhammad will be presented in his full guise in America. And people will see that he walking with Christ, meaning that what Jesus taught and what Muhammad taught is inherently the same message. Oh, yes. And then we'll no longer have an American empire, an American pharaoh. But we'll have a new world order, a new heaven and a new earth, where all the sons and daughters of Adam can live together in peace. E pluribus unum, out of many ethnicities and tribes and nations can come one nation in America. But not long as we raise the European as our Lord and patron, and we get caught up in the schemes that Jacob worked against the Gentile and Esau. We must come under the clear light of Quran. Does that mean that all Americans are going to be Muslim? The Quran doesn't require that, because all religious knowledge came from the same Allah. So if the people of the book have some knowledge, it came from Allah. If it's true, if the Christians have some knowledge, if it's true, it came from Allah. If Buddha looked into the picture and became enlightened, studying the mother of the book, if it's true, it came from Allah. And it's not inconsistent with what Ahmed brought. But this old crazy idea that we've given by that peacecraft Islam, where everybody outside of Al-Islam is wrong and don't have anything of value because they're not Muslims. That's not what Prophet Muhammad brought. That's not what Ahmed brought. So Allah is trying to tell us that you need to go to Surah 28 and see how to deal with this empire, pharaonic situation. Pharaoh. How to deal with Pharaoh. I'm going to briefly, inshallah, read from Surah 28, make a couple of comments, and close this broadcast. Aludhu Bilayim, and they say, Tani Rajim, Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim, Nirafin. I seek refuge in Allah and away from the rejected Satan, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Said, these are the verses of the book that makes things clear. How to deal with Pharaoh in an empire. If you ever find your situation with that situated with that problem, you must use the problem solving of Surah 28. It makes things clear because there's a Bible out with the story of Pharaoh. And it was a book out with the story of Pharaoh during time with Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But Allah is telling him that story has been corrupted. It's not clear. But this story, this revelation here is clear. It doesn't suffer from the corruption. And then it say, we rehearse to thee some of the story of Moses. Allah never gives the complete knowledge that he has to the human being. He gives just enough that's suitable for us to realize our destiny on this planet. And then Allah repeats and said, in Pharaoh, in truth, what's out there on the planet is not the true story of Musa, The true story of Musa is being revealed in this Quran. But it says for a people who believe, even though it's a true story, a lot of people will pick up this Quran and they won't see nothing in this story about Pharaoh because they do not believe. And then it talks about Pharaoh and his game. It says, truly Pharaoh elated himself. Not that he had material wealth, science, a big military, and soldiers. No. His power was in his psychological inflation, making himself into a god and putting other human beings in a secondary or inferior status. That's what happened in America. We were given the European inflated himself in the land, white supremacy. And once you do that, you divide and conquer. Not in classes, but through an unequal distribution of not. They tell her you got the middle class, the upper middle class, the lower middle class, the underclass. Yes, that's social political division. They do that, but that's not the big division. The big division is based upon right. Giving some people the elite knowledge, giving the magician, having the magician able to learn, the sorcerers, the member of his court, and keeping the masses in darkness. And then taking another group that he puts a double whammy on, as we're done with the African-American people. And right here in the South today, you can have one of these ignorant Caucasians who can put up with a lower state because he inflates himself and say, hey, I'm bad off, but I'm better than an end. I'm better than an end. So just like Pharaoh inflates himself blows up his ego, we see the same thing happening to that low, ignorant Caucasian, that same game. He thinks he's better. He too inflates himself. And once we break him up, we're going to put a terrible strategy on this group that's isolated, that's segregated. We're going to use a strategy of distorting their acumen, their intellect, and make them an overly emotional people. Not that we'll physically slay their son, because if we kill them physically, there's not going to be any male power to pick all this cotton. So they left us alive physically, but they did not allow our acumen to develop, our rage, our logic. Made us an overly emotional people. And Allah, in other parts of the Quran, called that when you do a people like that, when you reduce their ability to develop collective logic, they can't compete with you. That's a tremendous trial. You can get power irresistible over people like that. Get my overly religious, church orientational, all emotional and feeling tone. But superstitious, illogical, unscientific, and irrational. The prophet said, reason is the root of my faith. Science is my weapon. So in Al-Islam, the male or the large of the logic is not slain. And the heart is not overly excited. So that was an oppressive strategy. But they playing and Allah playing. And look what Allah says. Say, this is our Masabit. Say, we wish to be gracious to those who were being oppressed in the land. All that oppression was happening, but Allah had a plan of grace. And what was that plan as we close out? He said, to make them leaders in the faith. And to make them heirs of what? This American empire. the leaders in what faith? The lands of both East and West, the leaders in scientific, material, economic development, technological development, and the leader in the spiritual science. Not just spiritual leadership, but balanced leadership in the spiritual world and the world of the dunya. That's how he was going to award the ex-slave. And this is how he punished the offenders. He said to establish a firm place for the ex-slave, for them in the land, and to show Pharaoh, Haman, and their hosts at their hands the very things against which they were taking precautions. You did all that to try to stop these people from coming into Quran, trying to preclude them from ever seeing Muhammad. We took all kind of precautions to stop you. But look what Allah has done. He showed them. You did all that to try to perpetuate your supremacist game. In other parts of the Quran, Allah say that he leveled all that to the ground, eliminated white supremacy, even the sense of civilization. Started off as the Puritans. Didn't just want to be a moral civilization, wanted to be pure, wanted to be clean. Back during those times, the women was covered. The people wanted to live a clean life. But look how that moral status has been leveled to the ground, have been reduced to rubbish. Now in this Christian American civilization, any old low-life, that immoral, freaky-deaky thing go, and you act slaves, rather than standing up for the faith, you going along with that crap. Yeah, some of you Muslims are choosing the filthy life of this world over what Allah trying to give you. You love that world out there with all its freakiness more than you love this gift of Al-Islam. You don't want it. You want the toys and the glamour and the pleasure and the good life of this decaying empire. We don't want to be leaders in the faith. We don't want to grab this big mission. Only what Ahmed brought can bring down this American pharaoh. Didn't I tell you the owner of that horse is a man named Ahmed? The whole universe was created for the celestial soul of Muhammad of Ahmed. The whole universe, the whole world, the whole globe is a mess here for Ahmed. America is a masjid for Ahmed. In time, the nappy-headed ones of Belial are going to be the leaders in the faith, the grateful ones, the appreciative ones. But the rebellious, stiff-necked ones, the ungrateful ones, are not going to fill hell with them and all these losers in the decaying empire. So go ahead and join it and become a part of that foolishness rather than trying to lead America back to its senses. Allah say that he'll fill hell with us all, except those sincere and purified. The triple crown, the Trinity. That's the basis for the power. You got that thoroughbred, and we got the surah of the steed that penetrate with pen and breath. That believer here in America, that son of Belial, that son of Ham, That's that steed, that stallion that got the strength to go out into the world and penetrate and stand upon La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. Yeah, so we just talked about the real Triple Crown, the real American Pharaoh, and how Allah getting ready to place in time the ownership of this land to make Belial the heirs of this civilization in time. Dearly beloved audience, we thank you for your attention. We hope and pray that you understood. We're not going to deal with LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers and 51 years ago, the last time they won the championship. There was a great African-American leadership. Had the reverse of LeBron James. See, LeBron means brown. And so literally in English that name is Brown James. But the athlete 51 years ago, and see, 51 is the reverse of 15 that's in 2015. Jim Brown, or is Jane Brown, the great African-American running back, the hero of the 1964 NFL championship, and now in Cleveland, another mega African-American athlete. Brown James, what is Allah trying to tell us? What that have to do with Tamir Rice? What that had to do with Kate Middleton and Prince William coming to Brooklyn, meeting with LeBron and others when the Nets played the Cavaliers? Right after A'Kai Gurley was killed, and Lewis Holmes in Brooklyn, and was memorialized at a Brown institution in Brooklyn. What is all that telling us? What is the law trying to tell us with all this? What is that? What does that have to do with American Pharaoh? What links these two so-called sporting events? Allah rules all the worlds, the high governmental world, the academic world, but the sports world, the money world, the world of dope, the world of prostitution. Allah is Lord of all the worlds and all systems of knowledge. Dearly beloved audience, we bring this conversation to a close with As-Salaamu Alaikum. I'll stay on the line if there's any questions from anybody that may or may not be in the audience. I greet you, As-Salaamu Alaikum. And if the coordinator is still present, then I will inquire as to whether or not there are any questions on the line. If not, we'll close this broadcast. Are you still present, Brother Afrin? Dearly beloved audience, again, As-Salaamu Alaikum.
Sweet.